Welcome to our service this morning. I invite you to turn in the Mennonite hymnal to number 554. 554.
Good morning. Will the ushers come forward to receive this morning's offering? Let's bow in a word of prayer. Father, we do thank you for such a beautiful morning, another gift from your hands to your creation, to your people. Thank you for the opportunity to be here, to fellowship together, to worship you together, to share together. Father, I pray you have blessed these tithes and offerings given from what you've given us. I pray you would use these mightily in your work, in your kingdom, here in this area and around the world. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise God. What an excellent worship period. Thank you for whoever picked the songs out. One of them even had the phrase in it, which comes from our passage this morning. We'd like to start off our message this morning by thinking about an illustration that happened in the New Testament. The disciples were, I think it was on the Sea of Galilee, in a boat. Whether it was rough seas or not, I don't know. Whether it was dusk, I don't know. But they thought they seen a spirit walking on the water. And they were afraid at first, and then they realized that it was Jesus. And Peter says, "Jesus, if that's you, tell me to come to you on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." And he jumped out. And I can believe he jumped over that side and started maybe even running towards Jesus. And then he started looking around at all the boisterous waves. And then he started sinking. And he said, "Jesus, Lord, help me." And Jesus reached out, it says, and took a hold of Peter and helped him up. You know, sometimes I think, where was Peter's focus? It went from Jesus to the boisterous waves and the sea into the fact that he's sinking. And I believe that's how it is in our life a lot of times. We get down in the pits because we're looking at the waves around us rather than where we're looking, rather than we're looking at Jesus. We need to get our focus on Jesus, and then life will be much better, even though maybe we are still in the pits or still down, have things going difficult for us. You know that the Old Testament saints, the children of Israel, had trouble with that, and all of our life we're going to have trouble with getting our focus on the wrong thing. You know, in 1 Corinthians 10, you don't have to turn to it. 1 Corinthians 10, the children of Israel, it says, "My brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea." The sea had protected them from the Egyptians and had delivered them. The cloud was like a shade to them, and it was guidance to them. It says all of them were baptized into Moses in the cloud and the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food. They had manna provided them. And then verse 4 says they had drink provided for them. And all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Well, we have that rock too. We have Christ. But it says, but with most of them, God was not well pleased. I had to think about that. Is God pleased with us? Is God pleased with our praise? Or do we get our eyes and focus oftentimes off of Jesus onto the things around us? Like the children of Israel started thinking about their life back there in Egypt. What does it say in verse 9? Let us not tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by the serpents. Nor complain. You know, we can always find something to complain about. And the older you get, the more you have to complain about, I think. You got more aches and pains. It says, don't complain, as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now, all these things happened to them as examples. And they were written for who? For us, for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Certainly closer to the end of the ages now than it ever was. And he said, it's written for our learning, not to be complainers, not to focus on what we don't have, but to focus on what we do have in Jesus Christ. Let's turn to Psalms 103. By the way, we're going through our study of the Bible. What was our last sermon on? You know, I don't even know. I'm testing you. I wasn't here. I think I know what it was on. I think Phil preached it. Didn't you? What was that right, Phil? Yeah, I thought it was 51, but maybe it was 23. But anyway, so we're in the life of David in our study through the Bible, and we're looking at Psalms that he wrote. And Psalms 51, he was kind of in the pits, but then he cried out to God, wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. And he confessed his sin. They say that was written probably in connection with his sin with Bathsheba and killing her husband Uriah. And David saying during that time, it was such a burden. I was trying to hide all this, so much so that my bones were deteriorating in my body. It was affecting my health. And then he found deliverance. Psalms 51 is that. And then Psalms 103, I think it's kind of David's running on the mountaintops. You know, he's having mountaintop experience. And I like to read what one of my big books says about Psalm 103. If I can find it here. Well, maybe I'm not supposed to read it. Here we go. The Psalm of David is possibly the greatest, grandest, and most glorious poem of praise to Jehovah God ever composed. In it, David's seal reaches its zenith. His reach is higher, his thoughts are deeper, his song is sweeter, and his heart is more moved than in any other prayer of praise in the Bible. Well, let's see what you think. Do you agree with that author? Let's turn to Psalms 103. And we'll just look at this verse by verse, I think. Instead of reading the entire, to save time, we'll just go through it verse by verse. But I'd like you to notice, first of all, that that David starts out in verse 1 and he ends in verse 22 with the same phrase. He says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." We've been singing about blessing and blessed. What does that word mean? Now, in the NIV, it says, uses the word praise. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I'm biased. I think bless is a little better, but I'm an old King James guy. So when they describe the word praise, they often use the definition blessed. And when they describe blessed, they often use the word praise. But it means to adore, to salute, to kneel before. You know, one of those pictures that we were looking at this morning, it was like this. I think that's kind of the idea. Maybe not always in a physical way, but that's how we live. We kneel and salute and glorify and adore God. That's what blessed means. We commit our lives, like we sing sometimes, "I am yours, Lord, everything I got, everything I am, I'm yours. Try me now and see if I can be completely yours." Well, that's what it means to bless, not just in our words, but in our entire being. You know, the soul, he says, "Oh, my soul." Sometimes it's hard to define what our soul is, but we often think of it as our mind, our will, and our emotions working together. I remember teaching a class already where in the instruction book it said, you know, the mind, will, and emotions work together, but we should never follow just our emotions, because if we do, we need to, first of all, with our mind, choose to or think about God, and then with our will, choose to it, and then our emotions oftentimes. Our emotions come and go. But if we choose, like David says, he's talking to himself, and he says, "Soul, David, your soul, bless the Lord." You know, it's good to talk to yourself in that way. They say it's bad when you start answering yourself. But when you talk to yourself and tell yourself to follow the Lord and praise the Lord and serve the Lord, well, that's a good thing. And David's talking to himself and to his soul, his mind, will, and emotions, and he's saying, "Remember, don't forget about God and about the Lord." Now, the word Lord there is Jehovah. There's lots of names for God. But when it's in all capital letters like that in the Old Testament, it means Jehovah. And this is the definition of Jehovah: the self-existing one, the sacred one, the holy one, the set-apart one, the above all else one, the sinless one, the righteous one, the pure one, the one in whom no darkness at all is. Well, he's saying we need to bless with our will, our mind, will, and emotions, the Lord. But he don't stop there. He says, "And all within me." He's trying to make sure that we don't leave any part of ourselves out. "And all that is within me, bless his holy name." Entirely, give yourself to blessing the Lord. And what you think and what you do. Because some other places it says we need to love the Lord our God with all our heart. So indicating that heart is something different than soul. Heart, soul, mind, and strength. There they have the soul and the mind separated. But our entire being needs to be blessing the Lord. And then he repeats it again to himself. He says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." So we need to bless the Lord for his holy name, for who he is. You know, when Jesus taught his disciples to pray, the first thing he said you need to pray is, "Hallowed be your name." So I think it's good for us to think about the names of God and what they mean. My wife had me make this years ago for in her house. She got the idea of making a star and putting on all the points to put it, one of the names of God on. So you might want to take a look at that. There'd be lots and lots more names of God, which all kind of have a little different significance about Jesus. But here he says, "Bless the Lord, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul." And then he says, bless Him for who He is, but then bless Him for what He gives you. Bless Him for the benefits. Bless Him for the Christian life's benefit package, we could call it. He says, remember that He forgives all your iniquities. And David could talk from experience because he felt the weight of that sin removed from his shoulders. He felt forgiven for his sin with Bathsheba and killing of Uriah. And it's the same for us. No matter what we've done, Jesus will pardon. Jesus will forgive us. The Bible says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord laid on him the sins or the iniquities of us all. So one of the benefits is He forgives our sins and makes us ready to meet God and to walk with God. He heals all our diseases. He heals all your diseases. Do you think the doctor heals you? Do you think the pharmacist and his drugs heal you? Well, they certainly help, but when it comes down to it, if God chooses not to heal you, why, you won't be healed. This week, I have living evidence that God heals me. This week, I cut my finger really bad. It's about an inch, at least an inch cut, and the whole thing opened up. I thought, I grabbed it, grabbed my finger, and I thought, oh boy, and I guess I'm going to have to go to the doctor, get stitches, and I wrapped it up real tight, and I said, Lord, heal me. And I said, I'm going to Israel. I need this thing healed. This morning I took the Band-Aid off, and it's pretty well healed up. Hey, Phil, you want to tell us that story about that great healing? This is an extreme example of healing.
So this is through me hearing it from someone else who heard it from someone else.
I didn't want to be the fourth guy in the line or whatever.
But, you know, the Vacation Bible School was this week at Bowmansville, and there was a youth rally on Friday night, I believe. The speaker was Steve Shank of EMM, who I'm guessing some of you would know who he is and have heard him before. But I think he's served the Lord around the world in many different places, but he was telling stories of, I think his theme was obedience, and that God works through people who are willing to listen to His voice and do what He wants them to do. He had gone to Haiti for a board meeting of some kind, he didn't really say, but he was staying another day after the board meeting, and he was asking the Haitian brothers what's happening the next day, and they were saying, well, we have this crusade planned. We have rented this big stadium. We're expecting it to be full, 80,000 people. And Steve said, wow, that's great. Who's going to be speaking? And they said, well, you are. Okay, so he was pretty, a little unnerved by that, but did his best, and he said it was a very simple message focused on Jesus and salvation, and he invited people to come forward at the end. They had people prepared to pray for them. He said, if you have needs or whatever, come forward. And they passed a man forward who couldn't walk and had him come to the front. Steve had stepped to the back, and the Haitian leaders were kind of leading the prayer time. And Steve was felt impressed that he should pray for this man's healing. And he kind of resisted that for a while. And this is in front of a lot of people. And He said it wouldn't go away. So he eventually went to one of the leaders and said, I feel like God's telling me that we should be praying for this guy's healing. And that Haitian gentleman took the mic and said, Brother Steve here says this man's going to be healed. And again, he felt very weak in his faith, and but sensed God telling him to pray for his healing. And he said, my prayer may have sounded strong, but inside I'm thinking, oh Lord, in front of all these people, you know, if nothing happens. And he prayed for his healing, and he thought in the Bible they said, arise. So he kind of held out his hand and said, arise, and nothing happened. And inside he's a little demoralized, and he just was kind of still for a bit, and then he sensed God saying, well, put your arm around him and just help him up. And he said as he did that, they both, I guess they talked about it later at some point, but he described they both felt this incredible surge of energy or shock or something, and the guy jumped to his feet and ran up through the stadium, and that was kind of the end of the story at that point. But he was talking about obedience and being willing to follow God's leading. So,
thank you, Phil. Well, God still does that, ain't Cliff? God still heals. Yes, He does. But He doesn't always do it. That's the challenge, ain't it? We'd like God to always heal, but we're all going to have to die because we're in a sin-cursed world. So, you know, we need to get ready. We need to be focused on Him. And I think we need to place, when we're in situations of bad health or work, we need to commit our will to His will. But God is ultimately the one that heals us of, what do you say? All your diseases. No matter what it is, God can heal if He chooses to. And then He says He redeems your life from destruction. Some of the translations say He redeems your life from the pit. In other words, we kind of have a tendency to be self-destructing, you know. A lot of the world out there is self-destructing. They get on to drugs, they get on to alcohol, they overeat, and it's self-destructive. But the ultimate destruction, He wants us to redeem us from too. Not those kind of things too He wants to redeem us from, but He wants to redeem us from the pit of hell. And then He says He wants to crown us. These are all things David is telling his soul. He wants to crown me with loving kindness and tender mercies. He wants His love and His mercy to shine through me. You know, you wear a crown on your life to be noticed, don't you? It's visible. And He's saying the love God wants to pour on you and mercy so that it will shine through and others will see it and want it too. But He don't stop there. He says He satisfies your mouth with good things. You know, God doesn't have our worst in mind. He doesn't want us to have a boring life. He wants to bless us with good things. He says, satisfies, the NIV says, satisfies your desires. It kind of broadens it out more than the King James says, satisfies your mouth. You always think of all just the things you eat. But the NIV says, all your desires. God wants to bless us with good things, to revive us spiritually so that and physically, so that we can be renewed and like the eagles. Have renewed strength and renewed vitality spiritually and physically. And then verse 6, he says, the Lord is righteous and just in all His ways and in all His acts. We can count on God. He's not going to be like the President of the United States. I shouldn't say that. He's going to be righteous and just in all his acts and in all his ways. We have a God we can trust. And then he says in verse 8, he's slow to anger. You know, if he wasn't slow to anger, all of us would be doomed. But he says he's slow to anger and he abounds in mercy, or he abounds in love. And I think those next verses there tell us what kind of love this is. But he says, remember though, even though he's slow to anger and he abounds in mercy and love, it's not going to last forever. He's going to bring judgment on those who don't open their lives to his love. Verse 9, he will not always strive with us or with all people. He's not going to put up with it forever. He says he's not going to keep his anger forever. If God is just, he's going to have to judge sin. But he is slow to anger, giving us all a chance, giving everybody a chance to receive his love. Abounding in love, or abounding in mercy, it says in verse 8. Well, what's this love like? Verse 10, he says, one of the first things is that he doesn't deal with us the way he should deal with us, or he could deal with us. He has not dealt with us according to our sins. He has not punished us according to our iniquities. So his love really is undeserved. We don't deserve it because we are sinners. We are living in iniquities, like it says. But he has poured out his unabounding love. And then he says this love is not only undeserved, it's boundless. He says, as far as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his love toward those who fear him. And as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. It's boundless. Is that right? If you go east, you always keep going east? If you go west, you always keep going west? You know. Think about it. God's love is boundless. And then he says it's like a father. It's fatherly. He says, as the father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth those who fear him. He knows our frame. He knows that we're just dust. So it's understanding. God's love is fatherly and it's understanding. He knows that we're just a bunch of dust. And we're like grass. And we're like the flower of the field. I made a bouquet here, but I didn't want to make it too pretty. I thought next Calvin and Roxanne would hire me. That's just grass, and that's just one flower. You know, if you put that out in the sun today, it'll all be gone tomorrow. You know, amazing. He says, that's how our life is, you know. My wife said on the way, well, what are you going to do with your life? What are you doing with your life? Well, I guess I should ask you that question. You know, if it's so short, what are you doing with it? What's the most important? Well, he understands that we're just grass and we're here for a short time. See, if the wind passes over and is gone and the place remembers it no more. I thought, this verse came to me the other week when I was working with Doug Musselman. I started telling him about Paul C., and then I said, man, I believe 1/4 to a half of his sermons had something to do with end times. And he didn't know who Paul C. was. You know. How many know who Paul C. is? Well, we still have some people yet that are old here. You know, it's really something. How soon we're gone and people remember us no more. Well, he says, but count on it, God's love is forever. Even though we're just here for now and God's love is to us now and on us, he says, that's going to go on for eternity if we accept that love. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him. And his righteousness to children's children, to such as keep his covenant and to those who remember his commandments to do them. Well, there I think there's a key on how to bless God. Fear Him, keep His covenant, try to obey Him, remember to do them. And then verse 19, he says, you can trust in God's love because His throne is way above any throne here on earth. He says, it's established in the heaven and it's going to last forever. And His kingdom rules over all. So no matter who we get for president, we can trust in it that God is still in control of all things. And then he gives last, I never thought a man can call on the angels to do things, but he says, angels bless the Lord, you His angels, who excel in strength. And then he says how they are to bless the Lord. They do His word. They heed the voice of His word. They are ministers who do His pleasure. And then he calls not only on the angels and on his own soul to bless the Lord, but he says the works, God's creation. Bless the Lord, all His works in all places of His dominion. Well, we know God's creation is blessing Him, and we know God's angels are blessing Him. I guess, how is it with you? Are you blessing Him? And if you aren't, maybe it's that we have our focus on the fact that we have grass problems. We have grass problems, and we aren't focusing on Jesus. Shall we have a closing song at this time? Thank you.
This is our sharing time. Glenn asked me to lead this because he wants to share about their trip to Israel and he didn't feel comfortable praying for himself. So maybe you want to start by sharing about your trip.
Mary has a brother, Elmer, that's been taking tour groups over to Israel for the last 15 years. And he's been after us to go along because he knew I always had an interest in going sometime. And the Lord willing, we're planning to go along and we'll be leaving next Saturday. So when you're up at Spruce Lake and you get up Sunday morning, we're going to be stepping onto the lands of Israel tired as a dog, I guess. His ministry is called the Shofar Ministry to Trips to Israel, and it's kind of a different kind of a trip. Our main purpose is to discover and bless and encourage and support what God is doing in Israel. So I'm anxious not only to see where Jesus walked, but to see what Jesus is doing today. And so we'll be visiting some of the growing believer groups, I should call them, over there. And you can pray for safety and health and that we keep all our stuff. You know, it's so easy to forget and lose stuff when you get our age. So we need to keep our passport all the time with us. So remember us in prayer.
What else would you like to share?
Yeah, this is Doug Musselman. Since next week is Spruce Lake Camping Weekend, I'm going to do a quick review on the adventure activity we're doing for the younger children. It's called the Mini Zip Line. It's over the pond out at the Wilderness Camp. So if you go out and just watch the activity, it's starting at 10:45. The group will meet at the pavilion, which is right next to the Wilderness Camp pond out there. And the ages is 8 to 11, but it's actually age 8 on up, and those who are 5'6" and under can go, and went up to 140 pounds can go. So children 12, 13 are still fit in those categories that can still participate. We have 9 signed up right now. There's plenty of room for more for those who are still considering. Pastor Phil will actually be the point person out there. I won't make it to Spruce Lake till that evening. So I have the forms here, the parental release forms for the parents to fill out for their children. It's $5 per trip across the pond, and you can do additional trips if you want. Again, $5 per run across. It's a lot of fun because the kids get to do what the big kids did last year, but they go over the water this time. So everything will be provided. Just make sure you're out there a little bit before 10:45 so Phil can get your forms, collect the money, and your facilitators will meet you out there. So thanks and have a great time.
Steve and I almost always sit in this area, so it's very notable to us that we're missing some of our young people, and I was thinking that it would be good for us to pray for those folks that are serving at Woodcrest Retreat, and starting this week, I was reminded again of the data or the information we often hear that many, many, many children accept Christ in a camp setting, that that's where they make their first decision to follow Jesus. So our prayer would be that God would use our young people to point to Himself.
This is Steve. I'd like to ask for a prayer for my mom. She has colon cancer and will be undergoing surgery on the 16th for the removal of the tumor. It's going to be laparoscopic, and she won't have a bag or anything like that. So they're making it sound like it's pretty routine, but nevertheless, it's colon cancer, so it doesn't feel very routine from my perspective, and I assume my mom's not feeling like it's real routine either. She had some issues with her eyes as well and had undergone cataract surgery. That went well, but there are a few things. She is anemic, a few hoops like that that she has to jump through, things to overcome before she can have the surgery. So pray that those things will be corrected as well.
This is Mary Ellen. Cheryl Fisher would appreciate prayers. She fell on Wednesday and hit her head pretty bad and was admitted to the hospital to be sure there's no bleeding on her brain. She expects to be discharged today, but continue to pray for them.
This is Donna. I just ask for prayer for the LaManna family. They are neighbors of my parents in Delaware, and they have a special needs son who had a severe stroke this week, and they disconnected him from the ventilator yesterday, so they will need your prayers. Mm-hmm. Thanks.
This is just an announcement. We brought a box of pictures from my sister-in-law. They're back on the table. If someone's pictures aren't there, don't call me. Call her.
Hi, this is Michelle Fry. I'm figuring I should announce it now while Aiden's not here because he'd be mortified. But he was diagnosed last week with Lyme's disease as well as two other viruses that are in his system. So the doctor at this point, we meet with him Monday. It could affect... it has affected his energy level and could affect, upcoming things with camp and even Guatemala. So if you can just keep him in your prayers, we meet tomorrow with the doctor.
This is Michelle Gockley, along with Woodcrest Camp. The Camp Miranda's at, they have staff training this week. I know they were still scrambling for male counselors, which seems to be every camp. So just pray that they have the staff they need to start camp the next week.
Okay. Please stand with me. Thank you, Lord, for your love for us. Thank you that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we can come to you with our prayers and requests with thanksgiving for your many benefits, for who you are, for what you've done, and for what you are doing. Lord, we ask for your blessing on Glenn and Mary on this wonderful opportunity to take this trip. We pray for their team. We pray for safety, for health, that all the things that they need, they will be able to take with them and won't lose things. We pray for blessing in what you do in their hearts and lives and spirits as they see your work, and pray that they would be a blessing to the what you're doing now, the ministry's there. Pray for Elmer, I believe it is, who's leading. Just give him wisdom and confidence, and we just pray that it would all go well. We pray for our weekend at Spruce Lake. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to do have that activity. We pray that it would work for many from our congregation to go. We ask for your blessing on the weather. We pray for a good time for families and individuals and for our church family, just in a special way of unrushed conversations around a fire or whatever you want to happen there, God. We ask for your blessing on it and the ministry of Spruce Lake Retreat. We thank you for other camps that were mentioned here, for Woodcrest and Miracle Mountain Ranch, where Miranda is at. We pray that you would use these places for your will to be done, God. Empower and strengthen the staff. Provide all the staff that are needed, especially male counselors there at Miracle Mountain Ranch. We pray for spiritual growth in them and all the people and children and families, youth that will come. We pray that you would draw them to yourself, Lord. Use these significant, special times for your glory. We pray for Steve's mom. We pray that you would bless the treatment of her colon cancer and all that's surrounding that, God. We pray and ask for your healing and your blessing on her life. We pray the same for Cheryl Fisher, God. We pray that as she heals from this head injury, God, that you would bring healing in her life and encouragement and be near to her. Father, this family that Donna mentioned with the special needs son and what appears to be the end of his life, God, we pray that you would be near to the family, that they would sense your love and comfort and encouragement as they journey through this time. God, help them to lean on you. Help them to find strength in your word and your spirit and in other believers. We pray for Aiden and with his Lyme's disease and the other things that are affecting him. I pray, thank you that they were able to diagnose this, and I pray that the treatment would be effective and he would be able to serve well at Woodcrest, and that he would be able to go to Guatemala on the youth missions trip. Pray for his blessing and healing. Thank you, Father, for your love. Thank you for Jesus, who made a way for us to be right with you. Lord, help us to bless you. Help our souls, our spirits, our minds to bless you, to worship you, to live lives that point others to you. And as we part, God, may each one of us remember your goodness. We ask for a blessing on the Vacation Bible School celebration and each one of us as we go from here. In the name of Jesus, amen. Thank you. Go in peace.